rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. Today's readings are from John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, and John chapter 6, verses 35 through 51. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in me may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Gracious and glorious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So true confession time, church. Over the next 3 weeks, I am going to step out of my comfort zone as I have asked you to step out of yours in the past. I am not going to preach a lectionary-based sermon. Remember I said the lectionary is something that is prescribed and it gives scriptures to base your sermons on each week of the year for 3 years, and we normally cover about 70% of the Bible by the time we complete the full lectionary cycle. I'm going to step out of that comfort zone of knowing what I'm going to preach on for the next 3 weeks. If I were to walk, and I am going to preach a topical sermon. Now, if I would have walked into Jenny Copeland's preaching class at Duke Divinity School and make the announcement that I'm going to preach a topical sermon, she would have immediately dropped my grade one level. She was a lectionary preacher and wanted us to preach lectionary. So you walked in and made that announcement, you immediately started out at a B, while all the rest of you started out at an A. But I'm going to do just that. You may see some differences, you may not. Just know that we are still going to hear sermons that are firmly based on biblical teachings. Now, the first two scriptures we heard this morning should be familiar to most of us. They are part of the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And in that discussion, there was this talk about living water, the living water of life that was the key to the conversation with the woman and subsequently to the whole town that she lived in. So let's think about this metaphor for a moment. The water of life. The water of life. Jesus said, everyone who drinks the water of life will be thirsty again. And the Samaritan woman was thinking of the one liquid that each of us humans need to sustain life. That clear, tasteless, unless you're in Flint, Michigan, of course, refreshing wet stuff we call H2O or water. However, this morning, I would like us to think of the water of life as what we experience each and every day from the time we were born until, well, right now, to right now, this morning. What have our lives been like? How would each of us describe our lives in generalities? Would we describe it as being good? Maybe we would describe it as challenging. I believe some would describe their lives as an adventure, filled with thrills and excitement each and every day. But for each person that has a life that seems to be great, some might even say their lives have been perfect in their eyes, there's others of us who may see their lives in another light. Others, maybe even some of you sitting in this room this morning, may see our life as a shambles. We may be living in a world that's torn by grief, by depression, by loss, by anger, hatred, fear, or even loneliness. We may have fallen into addictions of alcohol and drugs or any other of a number of idols that tempt us each and every day. We may be putting on a good front when we are with friends or even here in church. But when we are by ourselves, our world seems to be in ruins. Yet we must remember our lives aren't just cookie cutter simple. It never has been that way. We're not always up and we're not always down. I would describe life in general and portions of my life in particular as, how many have been to Adventureland in Des Moines? Anyone? Okay. The dragon. That depicts my life. Or maybe even the tornado. Okay? Or whatever your favorite coaster ride might be. And, you know, tell me, does that describe our lives? As I look back at my life, I can say that the dragon fits me. You know, it's fast, there's thrills, there's chills. It climbs the heights, there's sharp turns, quick drops, and even some loops. It leveled out. Well, first, the year was 1972. I married into an already made family. I just finished 3 years in the Army. I began a great job with the state of California as a CHP officer, and soon our lives added another with the birth of our daughter. I went back to the Army Reserve and fulfilled one of my dreams and became an officer, not a commissioned officer, but a warrant officer. We moved a couple of times following both our jobs, for my wife at the time also worked as a Highway Patrol non-uniformed employee. My life fell apart in 1982 with my divorce. I dated off and on for a while and was introduced to a lady by the name of Ann Rogers. Actually, called her Sergeant Rogers because she was in the Army also. We married 18 months later. My career took off again. It just took 22 years to get legs, and life was good. My daughter came to live with Ann and I, and we prepared her to enter the Army as well at her request. My career took a big jump in 1995 when I was asked to be a part of the governor's protective detail in California, and I was a detail leader. That guy that stands right next to the president is the detail leader normally, while I was right next to the governor, the detail leader, protecting Pete Wilson. Ann's career took off. She was in charge of all the training for Army Reserve units in California, Nevada, and Arizona. Then tragedy struck. Lauren came down with cancer. It was a rare form of bone cancer that would only respond to a wide excision, which means invasive wide surgery. Chemotherapy and radiation didn't work. Our lives were in turmoil. Now, mind you, I believed in God. I believed in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I prayed the prayers my grandmother taught me almost every single night. I'd been baptized at 2 or 3 days old, or whatever it was back in the 1950s when you got baptized. I was rebaptized in the Baptist church because that's what they do at the age 17. But I had pulled away from God. I have left God behind. I would say I believe, but my belief was shallow. I would not go to church, but I did say my prayers. Then double tragedy struck. Ann was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, small cell breast cancer. She was given 6 months to live. So the two most important women in my life at that time were suffering from one of the most dreaded diseases known to mankind. Life got even more complicated and took another deep dive when Ann went into heart failure in 2001. At the low, her heart was only working 19% of normal. Can things get any worse? God, are you hearing my prayers? Where are you? Why is this happening to me? You know, sometimes we think we can do it by ourselves. Sometimes we think we can reach down and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. However, I'm here to tell you today that it is not possible to do it alone. I had a video clip sent to me by a pastor friend. I think the message is one we should all hear. Here, take a look. Get the computer sound. There we go. That was a Jay Suklo band covering Styx's song, Fooling Yourself. Any of you 1970s era rockers might recognize the lead singer. It was John Avante from Kansas. The band Kansas. The blonde guy on vocals was John Schlick. Again, any of you who followed rock in the 70s might recognize his name. He was the lead singer of the band Head East. However, John fell to the bad boy temptations of the era and became addicted to cocaine. He would drink beer to bring himself down and shoot a line or two of coke to bring himself up. And it wasn't long before his life was a shambles. It went right into the toilet. He was asked to leave the band because he was on a path of destruction and the band didn't want to go where John was heading. John said that it was only by the grace of God that his marriage stayed together. His wife gave herself to Jesus and the church and started praying for him. And one day, John woke up and the reality of his life hit him. He heard God say to John, the treasures you are looking for, all the money that you wanted to make, all those riches, here they are right here. I've been taking care of them for you. It's now your turn to start. John left the rock world. He became successful in other endeavors and kicked his addictions, but he wasn't done. In 1985, he was asked to come back and join one of the first successful Christian rock bands, Petra. John said he would only return to music if it was Christian music. He ended his successful career in 2005 when Petra disbanded. God never gave up on John Schlick. John knows he will see God, but not because of what he did. He sins each and every day, and he recognizes that. He knows that God's blood was shed for him. That's why he will see God. My life turned around in 2002 when Ann and I made a vow to return to the church. God got a hold of me in that subtle way that God has a tendency to grab people. And my life has not been the same since. Yes, we said goodbye to Lauren in 2004 when she lost her battle with cancer. Yes, I also said goodbye to Ann in 2014 when she couldn't fight the dreaded disease anymore after 13 and a half years. 4 months later, I said goodbye to my father, also a victim of cancer. But I know I can still keep going. I know that even in the midst of trials and tragedies, even when I am at the deepest descent of that roller coaster of life, that all will be well. Why? Because I know that I needed Jesus in my life. I also know that I had Jesus in my life. All I had to do was turn and call to him. Not long after that, I met a wonderful woman by the name of Kelly Sue Walther. It seemed that we had so much in common, it was unbelievable. It seemed that we had been led together by God. Not long after we'd been together, Kelly confided in me. She heard a voice that said, Ann brought him this far. It's your turn to take over. I love you.
Thank you.
My story and John's story are not the only ones, not by a long shot. We each have our own personal story. Each of us have stories that have affected our lives, but we need to realize that only through Jesus Christ, only through Christ will we be delivered from whatever the world is going to throw at us. We will face difficult, gut-wrenching times in this life. Yeah, we will. Will we feel like the whole world is crashing down on us? You bet we're going to. Been there, felt that. Quite recently, as a matter of fact, heart issues will do that to you. Will we be spared heartache and anguish and pain? No. All of that is alive and well in this world. Following Jesus isn't a ticket to bliss. Life is not easy. It is not a cakewalk. It's not a bed of roses. It's not a box of chocolates. But this world is not the end. This world is not all that there is, even though Peggy Lee sang a song about that 50 years ago or so. Two chapters later in John's Gospel, in chapter 6, we hear that Jesus is the answer to our deepest needs. We hear that all who see the Son and believe in Him will have eternal life, and that Jesus will raise them up on the last day. We hear that whoever believes will have eternal life because Jesus is the bread of life. Why do we need Jesus? We need Jesus because there is so much more in store for us. There is so much more in store for us than what we experience here in this world. We need Jesus because He is the key. He is the bread of life, the manna that we face in the wilderness of our lives. We don't need Jesus just for 1 hour on Sunday morning. We need Jesus every day, multiple times a day. As the song says, and you're fooling yourself if you don't believe it. You're killing yourself if you don't believe it. Get up, get back on your feet. You're the one they can't beat, and you know it, as long as you have Christ in your life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory to our God forevermore. Amen.